In today's news headlines, in a series of tweets late Monday, President Donald Trump revealed that his decision to overturn the entire Affordable Care Act in a legal case would not be followed up with a Republican-led alternative health care plan until the 2020 elections. And that is only assuming that the GOP wins back the House and retains the Senate. The president made his social media declaration saying Republicans, quote, are developing a really great healthcare plan with far lower premiums and deductibles than Obamacare. In other words, it will be far less expensive and much more usable than Obamacare. Vote will be taken right after the election when Republicans hold the Senate and win back the House. He added in a separate tweet, the Republican Party will be known as the Party of Great Healthcare, misspelling the word healthcare. Democratic leaders reacted with skepticism, with Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer saying that Trump's announced plan means that he will, quote, hold Americans hostage through 2020, and that Trump, quote, insists he has a magic plan that we can see if only the American people re-elect him. In other news, Trump's plan to close the southern border with Mexico is also as vague as his promise to repeal the ACA. On Monday, several of his Republican allies were apparently bewildered at his threat. According to Politico, some Hill Republicans warned that any dramatic disruption to regular traffic across the U.S.-Mexico border could bring Trump into a new confrontation with his own party, whose leaders warned that closing parts or all of the U.S. border would wreak economic havoc. On Tuesday morning, Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders spoke to reporters, saying that it was the fault of Democrats that Trump has been forced to threaten the border closure.
Look, Democrats are leaving us absolutely no choice at this point. We've already had to move roughly 750 personnel from ports of entry at this point, and it looks like we're going to have to move more, which will force those lines to go longer to cross the border, and eventually it may be that it's the best decision that we close the border. Even Obama's own Secretary at Department of Homeland Security from the Obama administration, Jay Johnson, has said that this is a crisis.
That's Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders on Tuesday morning. A second woman has come forward and accused former Vice President Joe Biden of invading her personal space. Amy Lapos, in an interview with the Hartford Current, described an incident that took place in 2009 at a fundraiser. According to Lapos, it wasn't sexual, but he did grab me by the head. She added, he put his hand around my neck and pulled me in to rub noses with me. When he was pulling me in, I thought he was going to kiss me on the mouth. She explained that she didn't complain then because he was the vice president. But she also explained, there's absolutely a line of decency. There's a line of respect. Crossing that line is not grandfatherly. It's not cultural. It's not affection. It's sexism or misogyny. Lapos's allegation comes after former Nevada Congresswoman Lucy Flores made a similar accusation. On Tuesday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was asked to comment on the issue, and this is what she said.
I'm a member of the Straight Arm Club. I mean, I'm a straight armor. And all this. Just pretend you have a cold and I have a cold. But what I think that it's important for the vice president and others to understand is it isn't what you intended, it's how it was received.
And that's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi commenting on Biden's inappropriate behavior toward women. President Trump's battles with Puerto Rico continued on Monday night as he tweeted erroneously that Puerto Rico got far more money than Texas and Florida combined, yet their government can't do anything right. The place is a mess. Nothing works. He said Puerto Rico got $91 billion for the hurricane, more money than has ever been gotten for a hurricane before. And then he called San Juan Mayor Carmen Yulín Cruz, quote, crazed and incompetent, and said that, quote, the best thing that ever happened to Puerto Rico is President Donald J. Trump. Multiple news outlets exposed his $91 billion figure and claims that Puerto Rico received more money than any other region for a hurricane as flat-out lies. The president's unhinged comments come after the Senate voted down a bill to bolster the island's food stamp program. In other news, South Los Angeles is in mourning over the shooting death of Grammy-nominated rapper and local entrepreneur and social justice activist Nipsey Hussle, who was gunned down outside his store on Sunday. Police have now identified a suspect named Eric Holder, who remains at large. LA Police Chief Michael Moore has said that he believes the shooting was related to a personal dispute and not gang-related violence. On Monday night, at a memorial for Hussle, a stampede broke out, leaving 19 people injured and 2 people in critical condition. Here is one mourner, Denise Francis Woods, an LA City Council candidate who spoke with Associated Press on Monday about Nipsey Hussle's legacy.
Nipsey did a lot for this community. He did not leave here, you know, no matter how popular he got, no matter how well he did in his career. In his businesses. He wanted it to stay right here. This is where he started it, as a matter of fact. When he was in high school, when he was 17, 18 years old, he used to sell his demo tapes right here on these corners. You know, a lot of people, you know, come out of here, they do well in sports, they do well in entertainment business, and they do leave, you know, and they forget. But he didn't do that. He stayed right here.
That's Denise Francis Woods, an LA City Council candidate, speaking with AP about Nipsey Hussle's legacy at a memorial on Monday held outside his store where he was shot. In international news, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has narrowly lost an election to his opposition party, results that he is now disputing. The Republican People's Party, or CHP, which is a secular party rivaling Erdogan's AKP party, is ahead by a few tens of thousands of votes. Erdogan's showing surprised everyone, given that he's been working to ensure he remains president for the foreseeable future. The New York Times called the election the most momentous political earthquake to shake Mr. Erdogan in nearly 2 decades of basically uncontested control at the helm of Turkey, a NATO ally and critical linchpin of stability in the region. The opposition party says they were highly disciplined in monitoring the election, and one CHP party spokesperson said, "We think they were not able to rig the election." In other electoral news, Slovakia has just elected its first female president, a woman named Zuzana Kaputova, who's being dubbed the Erin Brockovich of her nation. Her win is being seen as a strong rebuke to the spread of right-wing nationalism across Europe. Kaputova, a 45-year-old lawyer and leader of the newly formed Progressive Slovakia Party, beat her opponent, Maro Sefcovic, the European Commission vice president, in a runoff election with 58% of the vote. In 2016, she won the prestigious Goldman Environmental Prize for her environmental activism against a toxic waste dump. And finally, in the ongoing Brexit saga, British Prime Minister Theresa May announced on Tuesday that she would be asking the European Union for another short delay of their April 12th deadline for a no-deal divorce between Britain and the EU. She also plans on talks with Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn. On Monday, the House of Commons voted down 4 bills that were alternatives to May's Brexit deal. And that does it for our news headlines today.